Wednesday, August 25th, 2021. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends are all staying healthy. You're all doing well in our weird world today. We are happy to have you here with us today. And you know, here at the Daily Dose, we like to talk about sports. We talk about all kinds of sports. We talk about all kinds of athletes. We talk about a lot of lists and the best of this and the best of that. Well, today, on August 25th, we have to wish a happy birthday to a guy that kind of throws a wrench into the world of sports talk. Because if we talk about the greatest NBA players of all time, who would we mention? I mean, we're going to talk about guys like Michael Jordan, who won 6 titles. Maybe we talk about Bill Russell, who won 11 rings. Or maybe we talk about Magic Johnson, or LeBron James, or Wilt Chamberlain, and of course Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or Larry Bird. And we will discuss how they changed the game. We will discuss their statistics. We will discuss their clutch play. But we will always tend to come back to one thing. Well, how many championships did they win? Right? LeBron won 4, so he can't be better than Michael. He can't be better than Kareem. They both won 6. Well, Bill Russell won 11. You can't beat that. Well, yeah, but Bill Russell did it back in a different era. Well, back on August 25th, 1970, an NBA player was born in Hartford County, Maryland, that won, get ready for it, 7 championships. Hey, that's more than LeBron. That's more than Michael, Kareem, Magic, Bird, Wilt. This guy played 16 seasons in the NBA. He knocked down clutch shots. And like I mentioned before, he won 7 championships. So why isn't Robert Horry in the conversation for greatest ever? Well, I mean, it's probably because for his career, Big Shot Bob scored just 7 points a game. He was never even the greatest player on his own team, let alone in the league. But make no mistake, Robert Horry knocked down some huge shots. You think back to the 1995 NBA Finals, Game 3, Orlando Magic at Houston Rockets. The Rockets are up 101-100. There's 20 seconds left. The shot clock is winding down. Hakeem Olajuwon kicks it out to Robert Horry, who bangs a 3 over Orlando's Horace Grant. Houston takes a 104-100 lead with just seconds left. In the 2001 NBA Finals, Game 3, Los Angeles Lakers at Philadelphia 76ers. The series is tied at 1. The Sixers are down 89-88 with under a minute left to play after a 3-point play. Brian Shaw finds Robert Horry wide open in the corner. He hits a 3. The Lakers are now up 4. This series is over. And in the 2005 NBA Finals, Game 5, San Antonio Spurs at Detroit Pistons. Horry inbounds to Manu Ginobili, who is cornered by 2 Pistons defenders. Ginobili kicks it back to Horry on the left wing. He hits a 3 to give the Spurs a 96-95 victory. And, I mean, those are just the shots he hit in the NBA Finals. But remember, Robert Horry knocked down a number of postseason shots with a lot online. And yet, I don't think he's going to be in the mix for the GOAT anytime soon. But make no mistake, Robert Horry, born today on August 25th, he does have the rings, and he did knock down some really, really big shots to get that nickname, Big Shot Bob. Happy birthday to Big Shot Bob today. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us someone you think gets overlooked in that GOAT conversation. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. And make sure you're stopping by dailydosesports.com and checking out some of the new things that are going up there every week. Of course, we leave a link to the podcast and to the YouTube video over there, but I'm putting up an article every week. In fact, this week, talked a little bit about the quarterback controversy that is brewing here in Denver. And we have our featured columnist, Young Jimmy, posting a new article on most Thursdays over there. He's talked about a number of different sports stories, some really good stuff. Make sure you stop by dailydosesports.com. And you know, we're all doing that online shopping. So make sure you're stopping by tpublic.com and picking up that Daily Dose gear. Hey, it's starting to get cooler. A little bit. You might want to pick up a Daily Dose hoodie, a Daily Dose sweatshirt, a Daily Dose t-shirt, and you can pick it in whatever color you want. We have a few different designs over at tpublic.com. Just search Daily Dose. You're going to find exactly what you need. Hey, today on the show, we actually have something extra special for you because we are going to be joined by the president of the Daily Dose I-Team. Yes, I am talking about Big Rob, and we are going to be previewing the upcoming college football season. We're going to preview the major conferences. Are there any teams outside of those Big Five conferences that could make some noise this year? And what about the Heisman? Who's going to be in the college football playoff? We are going to have it all for you on the Dose today. And you know what? We might as well just jump into that right now. Let's get this college football preview started. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, yes, via Zoom call, because that is just how our world works these days, we have a longtime friend of the show and the acting president of the Daily Dose I-Team that does investigate the big stories and gets the information that no one else can get. Big Rob is joining us today to preview the 2021 college football season. Rob, it looks like after such a weird season last year, no fans, half the team is not playing, it looks like we're maybe going to get back to more of a normal college football season this year. First off, I want to say thank you for joining us, though. Just right off the bat, thanks for coming into the Dose again.
Always a pleasure. Glad to be here and definitely looking forward to a regular season, hopefully.
See, that's exactly what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping we get a real college football season. All the teams playing, stands are packed, and it feels like a more normal season this year, right?
I hope so. That's the plan. You know, it seems like it's going to be that way so far. So fingers crossed we can make it through the whole season.
I am really, really hoping so. Rob, and what might be the biggest college football news lately? We have some major changes coming for conference realignment. Of course, the Southeastern Conference has poached two of the elite programs in the country from the Big 12 in Oklahoma and Texas. They say they will join the SEC in 2025. But now they are saying that the ACC, the Big 10, and the Pac-12 are going to be joining forces. Rob, is any of this good for college football at all?
Well, it's tough to say. I'm going to say no, I don't think so. You know, I like the conferences kind of the way they were, the smaller sets, you know, 10 to 12 teams, somewhere around there. You keep your rivalries, you know, that have gone back, you know, decades. So, yeah, for the grand scheme of things of for college football, I don't think it's a good thing trying to build a power conference or two power conferences.
Well, and I know that everyone is hyping this up and we're going to have this huge minor league system. And I get it. I understand it. I know that's where we're headed. But there's also going to be some logistical problems. There's going to be some issues with doing all this. I know everyone is hyping, you know, USC versus Ohio State on any given Saturday. But let's be real clear. We're also going to get like Washington State versus Wake Forest and like Illinois versus Oregon State. So it's not all going to be good. And like you said, I kind of like how things were broken up and you have these conferences and you have these divisions. Some are better than others some years, some are worse than others other years. But I don't know if overall this is a good thing. I think they're really going to have to figure this out.
I agree too. And I'm surprised, especially with the move, because it looks like we're going to get a playoff next season, season after that. So again, kind of a bad time to me, in my opinion, to make the move, you know, when you got a playoff coming up, more teams getting in, more conferences, like I said, it might not be the best thing.
Well, and when we look at ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, who out of those do you really want? We want Clemson out of the ACC. Other than that, I mean, maybe Miami, Florida State, maybe I don't, North Carolina for basketball. I don't know. But then in the Big Ten, you've obviously got Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan, you know, the big dogs, Wisconsin. The lower tiers of these conferences, we don't want them, do we? And then the whole Pac-12, aside from like maybe Oregon.
No, like you said, I don't think we do. If we don't want or need them, really, which is, again, I think a better reason to keep the conferences a little bit smaller. So, you know, those bottom tier schools, you know, you still have the rivalries and things like that, like Washington State, you know, that means more in that conference. But, you know, if you spread everything out and it's wide open, like you said, who's really tuning into that?
Yeah, I don't know that we want to see that. It sounds great right now. It sounds great to those conferences because they're like, oh, we can keep up with the SEC. But when you actually look at it logistically, you go, I don't know if anybody's really going to want this. I don't know if it's going to make sense. Rob, another change that we have this year is that athletes can now earn money off of their name and likeness. And we are seeing tons of players snatch this money up. Hey, I'm all for players making money. I just feel like there are going to be problems coming in the future for all this. Isn't there going to be some bad stuff coming? I'm just foreseeing bad things happening eventually.
Yeah, I would agree. You said they can legally get paid now. Some might say some people have been getting paid all along.
Correct.
But yeah, with that, seems like there's no real rules or just established rules around it. It's just kind of opened up, I think, loopholes that were already there. And kind of like we mentioned before, when you look at the big scheme of things for college football, how good is this? Because it kind of feeds into the bigger programs again, because those are the teams that you've heard about, you know, getting the best deals, the most money. And so it just kind of, you know, the rich get richer almost. Yep. With this.
Exactly. No, you're exactly right. Because if you're at Tulane, how many big offers are you really getting? Maybe one kid gets a deal. The other thing that I worry about with the name and likeness thing, how much camaraderie does this bust up in the locker room when the quarterback is getting paid? The offensive linemen are getting nothing. The starting middle linebacker is getting nothing. I don't know. It seems like you're going to look around the locker room like, oh, why is he getting money? He doesn't deserve anything. He's not doing anything that much for us. I'm working harder than he is.
Yeah, especially too, like just depending on the deals too, because you think like NFL, you know, the big quarterbacks, you know, they have the big contracts, but you hear about the Russell Wilsons, you know, buying the whole O-line, Rolex watches and all right. Kind of things like that. But, you know, at the college level, you know, like Spencer Rattler, I mean, is he going to let everybody get free Raising Cane's? I mean, see? It's not. Yeah. It doesn't really translate.
No, it doesn't. And a lot of these guys, it's not like they're getting such big money that they can really afford to take care of everybody. Like you said, how are you going to take care of 70 other guys if you're the only one getting paid? I don't know. And I also feel like there are going to be legalities coming. There are going to be issues where we look at some of these situations and saying, wait, that seems like that's crossing a weird line and you're getting involved with an agent or something like that. We know that kind of stuff's illegal. So I don't know. There's going to be problems. There are going to be things that are going to pop up, probably things we're not even seeing yet, but there are going to be things coming. If you are getting money, are you an employee? Can you be fired? Could you lose your job? I don't know. I'm just saying there's going to be some weirdness coming. Rob, we have a number of coaching changes I want to talk about real briefly before we get into our preview. But a couple of major programs got rid of big-time coaches. Down at the University of Texas, Tom Herman is out. Steve Sarkisian is in. Going to be interesting to see how Texas does. Down at Auburn, Gus Malzahn is out. They bring in Brian Harsin, who was pretty good, you know, when he was coaching Boise State, did a pretty good job, but the Auburn situation is a little different. Down at the University of Central Florida, Josh Heupel is out. Gus Malzahn goes from Auburn down there. And at Illinois, Lovie Smith is out, and in comes Brett Bielema. I don't know if anybody can win at Illinois, so maybe it doesn't matter. Of all those coaching changes, does any one of them really stand out to you as maybe this is a great move, maybe this is a bad move?
The first one you said for me.
Texas.
Yeah. Sarkisian. Because I think he's a good coach, you know, had issues in the past. I think those are figured out now. Texas is never without talent. I mean, no. They've always got talent every year. And if he can just coach, which I don't know if that's possible in Texas right. With all, you know, the politics and everything else. But just as far as a coach goes, it's a good coach with good talent. And they might have a chance. I'm not going to say Texas is back like they say every year, but they could be a lot better, I think.
Well, and the hard part with Texas, and you bring up a really good point, because Texas says they're back. They've been saying they've been back for years and years and years. The expectations are so high that if you go out and you go 7-5, you were terrible. And so we kind of look at that situation and it's kind of goofy because it's kind of like the Dallas Cowboys. Expectations are so high every year that just you look like a failure no matter how you really right. did. Rob, one other thing to talk about. We've got a number of coaches on the hot seat going into the season. Hey, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan, that seat's getting real, real hot. Clay Helton out at the University of Southern California, his seat is getting pretty hot. I would think, I know it's not a big time program, but I would think down at the University of Houston, Dana Holgerson's seat has got to be getting warm. And you know him. He was at West Virginia. Yep. This is a guy who went down there. Hey, we're going to get Houston rolling. Well, he hasn't. He lost to Eric King. This hasn't gone the way that he had hoped it would go. And then, Rob, we have a guy whose seat was already hot in Nebraska and Scott Frost. And now we're finding out there might have been some recruiting violations going on at Nebraska. Rob, first off, I thought when you had recruiting violations, you were supposed to actually win games, not just lose all the games.
If you're going to cheat, you have to win. I mean, if yes. you haven't learned this from the Astros, for example, that's if right. you cheat, you at least have to win. Patriots, right. we cheated, but we won. So it kind of bounces out, but you can't cheat and still be bad. That's not.
What were you gaining? Why did you bother? That seems like a big risk for nothing.
Right.
Yeah. When we have seen cheating programs, Southern Cal, hey, we know they were giving Reggie Bush money. We all know it. We all saw it. He had an apartment or condo or whatever his folks were living in. Cool, but at least they won. Exactly. Scott Frost is cheating and going 5-7 or whatever he's doing. What are you getting? I don't understand it, but there are some coaching hot seats. People are going to have to be ready. If these coaches don't get things together real fast, they might be in some trouble. And we might talk about a few other coaching hot seats. Coming back, we are going to be jumping into our college football conference previews. Who is going to win the ACC? What about the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, and even the SEC? We still have a lot to get to today on the Daily Dose. So right now, let's continue our conversation with Big Rob, and we are going to begin to preview the Big 5 conferences in college football this year. Rob, let's go ahead and jump into our conference previews. I want to start in the Atlantic Coast Conference, which has been insanely top-heavy lately because Clemson has won the conference 6 straight seasons. And I'm not sure this is going to be any different. Rob, before we get to your pick for the conference champion, let me have a team that you think maybe could be a contender in the ACC.
Yeah, I've got 2 contenders. Okay. The first one's going to be Miami.
Yes.
Again, kind of like with Texas, they have talent, always have talent there. Yep. They started off good. The injury to King, quarterback, I think kind of derailed them, and then they just kind of lost track after there. But I think that's a team, you know, that has talent, couple years now under the same system, maybe picks up a couple more wins than last year.
You would hope so. And I know they lost a lot of talent on the defensive side. Derek King is a stud. I mean, this is a big-time quarterback, big-time talent. He's a scrambler. He can move around. He can really wreak havoc on teams. He's got to stay healthy, and then they've got to figure out ways to get stops. One tough part for the Miami Hurricanes, and I had them on my list as well, they open up against Alabama on September 4th. If they can shake that off, if they can find some defense, hey, Miami can be a tough team in the ACC. If they get thumped by Alabama, if they stumble to a team they shouldn't lose to, this could go south pretty quick. No pun intended, I guess. But yeah, Miami is definitely a contender. I've got the Virginia Tech Hokies as a team that could be a surprise this year for a couple of specific reasons. One, they return the bulk of their offensive and defensive lines. Two, we talked about coaches being on the hot seat. I believe head coach Justin Fuente is on a real hot seat. He needs to win. Now, the Hokies lost quarterback Hendon Hooker, so they're going to have to hope that their transfer from Oregon, Braxton Burmeister, can step up. But with their offensive line being as good as it is, I think Virginia Tech can at least contend over on that coastal side. Maybe they can be in the hunt. Maybe they can trip some teams up. I'll at least throw them out. Rob, you said you had another contender, and I bet it's going to be the same one that I have. Who else do you have?
I've got a UNC.
Yes, that is the one. North Carolina is going to be tough this year, aren't they?
Yeah. Sam Howell, quarterback, had a good year last year. I think that's a guy another year in the system. And I think their defense should be better this year. They're getting everybody back, I think, except one person on defense. So if that defense is stronger, I feel good about the offense. I think that's some team, that can make some moves.
Yeah, they could. And, you know, Mack Brown is one of the top recruiters in the country. He's bringing in 5-star after 5-star. The key for the Tar Heels for me is that they're going to have to find ways to win close games. When you think back to last year, they lose by 3 to Florida State, which they shouldn't have lost. They lose by 3 to Virginia. Again, you can't lose that game. You take those two losses away, 8-4, not bad, becomes 10-2, and you're going, wow, that has a really different feel. So they've got to find ways to win those close games. The key for UNC is going to be one of the things we've talked about already today. Dealing with expectations, they are common for basketball in Chapel Hill. They're not common for football, and we're going to have to see if they can deal with those things. Rob, then I'm going to assume that we both are going to have the same champion for the ACC yet again, aren't we?
I think so. It's looking like Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson's going to be really, really tough. And I know they lose Trevor Lawrence. They lose Travis Etienne. They lose a few guys. And they're going to feel those losses, make no mistake. But wow, do they have some talent coming back. Rob, I'm going to butcher this name, but DJ Uiagalelei, something along those lines. This is a big, strong kid with a huge arm, and he has some help on the offensive line. Key for Clemson, can they be better defensively than they were last year? They gave up a lot of big plays, but Clemson has a ton of talent. If they can shore up that passing game defense, they're going to be really, really tough.
Yeah, like you said, and we saw DJ, I'll just say DJ.
Yeah, there you go.
Last year against Notre Dame. And I mean, I know they ended up losing that game, but, you know, it wasn't for lack of offense. I mean, right. He was playing. And the other thing about Clemson, too, they avoid everyone that we just mentioned as contenders. No correct. UNC, no Virginia Tech, no Miami. So, like I said, they should pretty much coast through the ACC. They could come back to haunt them just because, I mean, as bad as that is, you're not even playing the top teams in that conference.
Right.
So that does worry me, you know, once we get later in the season. But yeah, as far as the ACC title, yeah, it should be them without a doubt.
Yeah, they should roll. And he's just got that thing going so good right now. Clemson is the big dog in the ACC. No question about that. I think they're going to be really, really tough to beat. Rob, we move next to the Big Ten. And while this conference only played like 8 games last season, once again, it was the Ohio State Buckeyes that won it. They beat Northwestern in the conference championship. We talked a little bit about Nebraska. Nebraska's got problems. They could have recruiting problems. That could be an issue. But because of the weird season last year, we might have some teams kind of bounce back. We might have some teams, a little bit of new blood in the Big Ten. I've got 3 contenders here, and then I've got a champion. And I would be surprised if we don't have something very similar yet again. Rob, who do you have as your first contender in the Big Ten?
I've got the same 3 as well, and then the title. My first one is Penn State.
Yep, I've got the same one.
Yeah, it's a good program. Like I said, they were on the right track. Last season, you know, was a little strange, but yeah. I mean, it was a strange season overall. But I still think that's a good coach. That's a good program. Yep. They do have talent, and I would not be surprised at all to see them bounce back and have a good season.
I wouldn't either. They go 4-5 last year. I just can't see head coach James Franklin allowing that again. That seemed like that was just kind of an aberration. He's a good coach. He's been good everywhere he's gone. But think about this. The Nittany Lions allowed 28 points per game last year. That has to be better this year, doesn't it?
Has to.
I don't know if they can full-on win the conference, but I think they're going to be a ranked team. I think they're going to be a pain. If they get some decent play from quarterback Sean Clifford, I think they're going to be a team that can trip someone up that maybe has, you know, playoff aspirations. Like I said, I don't know if they're truly like a national championship contender, but I like Penn State as well. My second contender, I've got the University of Indiana. And, you know, Indiana, like it or not, is now a football school. I know people can argue that, but think about this. The Hoosiers went 6-2 last year. They went to the Outback Bowl. The basketball team hasn't even made the tournament since like 2016 or something. The Hoosiers are returning 18 starters from that team. Head coach Tom Allen, he's got this program rolling. Quarterback Michael Penix, he is back. He threw 14 touchdowns in just 6 games last year. He ended up going out with an ACL injury, but Indiana is going to be tough. My concern for them is that schedule. You have to go to Iowa, Penn State, Michigan. They're going to host Ohio State. It's going to be a tough slate to get through, but I do like the Indiana Hoosiers a little bit. Who else do you have as a contender, Rob?
My next one is Minnesota.
Okay.
Similar to Penn State, I feel like it's a good program. Just solid defense that can lean on that defense, especially in the Big Ten. It's not one of the offensive conferences, I would say.
Right.
So with a good defense, I think they can hang in there and just be a little bit better than they were last season.
Yeah, I could see Minnesota. And there's another really good coach up there, a guy that does things the right way. It seems like they just stumbled last year kind of weirdly, but I think they'll be back again this year. I would imagine our last contender is probably going to be the same one. I would think we both have the Wisconsin Badgers as a contender.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah. You know, they win the West side of the Big Ten pretty much every single year. If they make it to the Big Ten championship, then you got to at least have them as a contender. The Badgers return 15 starters. They're going to be looking to bounce back from a disappointing year last year. Last year, they go 4-3, but they lost to Northwestern, Indiana, and Iowa. Quarterback Graham Mertz should benefit from having another year in the program. We know Wisconsin can usually generate offensive linemen. They can usually generate running backs. If they can do that again this year, they're going to be very, very solid. Running back Jalen Berger, by the way, he might be a guy to keep an eye on. Wisconsin should be very, very tough. They should be in the hunt over there.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, my biggest question mark for them is offense, not enough offense. We know they're going to play defense. We know they can run the ball. But like I said, can they throw it when they need to? And when they really need to move the chains, can they? And if they can get that offense figured out, like I said, I think they'll have a good chance because that's that defense is going to be good again.
Yeah, they'll be pretty tough. So then, Rob, I'm assuming we both have the same team winning the Big Ten?
Ohio State?
We do have Ohio State. The Ohio State Buckeyes are going to win the Big Ten again because that just seems to be what they do. Yes, they lost quarterback Justin Fields. They lost Trey Sermon. But Buckeyes head coach Ryan Day, he has this cupboard stocked full of big-time talent. Ohio State went all the way to the national championship game last year. They got destroyed by Alabama when they got there. But they're going to be in contention to do it again because they just have so much talent around them. And we do have to mention that team we haven't talked about because – Michigan's not even getting a mention from us, Rob.
No, sad to say. I think I'm surprised Harbaugh's still there. I thought last season that was it. I mean, probably he gets a pass because it was a weird season, but nothing makes me confident about them bouncing back at all.
He can't develop a quarterback, and until he can do that, that's going to be a problem. And that is exactly what Ryan Day has done. They are saying CJ Stroud is going to get the start at Ohio State. But he's got like three guys to choose from. It doesn't probably matter, does it?
No, not at all. Like I said, anybody they put in there, I think will be fine. And I am a little bit worried about Ohio State earlier in the season. They've got less people returning than everybody in the Big Ten, with the exception of Northwestern. So you're bringing in the top talent. I mean, it's a, you know, grade A talent, but I mean, that is a lot of turnover and a lot of new faces to, you know, to kind of mesh and fit in.
No, you're right. And there is no substitute for experience. Until you've been on the field in the big game during those big crunch time moments, it's a different deal. We're going to have to see if Ohio State can avoid those early, pitfalls that could switch up their season a little bit. Rob, let's move to a conference that is near and dear to your heart. We moved to the Big 12, which is now on its last legs after being informed that Oklahoma and Texas are going to be leaving in a few years. They're going to leave the Big 12. To just be a basketball conference, I guess. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this conference looks going forward. Oklahoma has now won 6 straight Big 12 championships in a row. We're going to see if anyone can dethrone the Sooners. Who do you have as your first contender in the Big 12?
I've got 2 contenders and a champion. The first one we already mentioned is Texas.
You've got Texas. You're nicer than me.
Like we talked about, Sarkisian's there. It's a good coach. It's good talent. Again, I don't think they have enough to, you know, win it all, but I think we're going to see a little bit of improvement, to just enough to get all the Texas fans riled up before the ultimate downfall.
Right. I could totally see that going exactly that way, though, because that's just how Texas fans are. That would be exactly how things would go for them. They would sit there and be like, hey, this might be our year. We're back. No, you're not. No. And everything will go down south really, really fast. Rob, I'm going to throw out a team that I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to throw out Texas Christian as a contender in the Big 12. And I'm going to do that for a few reasons. One, TCU does return 16 starters. But two, fat, sweaty Gary Patterson seems to come up with a pretty good team every few years, and it just feels like he's due. Like, they haven't had a good team since, like, 2017. And so I expect to see Patterson sweating through his shirt, his hair all matted up on his forehead, and quarterback Max Duggan throwing passes all over the place and running his system. So I'm going to put TC out. And honestly, I don't have a reason to do it. I'm just saying he's fat boys do, and I think he's due.
Fair enough. That's a good enough reason.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out one more because I know you're going to only have the one left. I'm going to put Oklahoma State on the list with Crazy Mike Gundy. Same thing. I don't know that I really have a reason for doing it other than he coaches up offensive talent. He's going to probably have them win a few games that maybe they shouldn't win. And yes, they'll probably lose in the end. And I understand that. But quarterback Spencer Sanders can be pretty good if he just stopped turning the ball over. Do you realize in his first 18 starts, he has 19 interceptions and 8 fumbles? That's a ton. If Gundy can figure that out, I mean, Mike Gundy is now, I think he's 50 now, isn't he? He's not even 40 anymore. He's a man. He's 50.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
And I would think he maybe could get Okie State to do something positive this year. All right, Rob, who else do you have as a contender in the Big 12? I would imagine we both have the same one.
Iowa State.
Yes.
Again, this is a good program. I think Matt Campbell's a good coach. The hype was really there a couple years ago, and that died down a little bit. So maybe there's not as much pressure there for him. But it's kind of like we mentioned before. It's one thing when you're the underdog, no expectations, and you can pull off the big upset. But when now it's expected of you and you're expected to do more, that's a different story. And it's a little bit harder. And though they might struggle with that, I mean, I think this is, you know, that's a good coach and a good program.
Yeah, I like that pick. And I have Iowa State as a contender as well. And here's the interesting part to me about Iowa State. They're doing something we don't see a lot of in the Big 12. They're playing defense. And he's got a pretty good defense. I know all the talk is about quarterback Brock Purdy, and I understand that. He's a Heisman contender. And yet, Iowa State's a pretty good defensive program, and that's something you just don't see a ton of in the Big 12. Iowa State can actually maybe slow some teams down over there. Now, here is the problem. Here's my only issue with Iowa State. Every time I turn on the TV and I want to watch Brock Purdy and I want to watch Iowa State, because we don't get a ton of Iowa State, I turn it on, and I look at Brock Purdy and I'm like, him? Really? That's the guy? Because every time I turn it on, he doesn't really do anything. And again, I guess it goes back to turnovers. He probably turns the ball over too much. He's got to figure out how to take care of the ball a little bit better. He's thrown 25 picks in 3 seasons. That's too many. He can't have 8 picks this year or whatever. Because again, that's in the Big 12. This is a league that fires it all over the place. You're throwing touchdowns, not interceptions. Brock Purdy can't be a guy that we turn on the TV and go, that him? We can't have that this year. He's got to like live up to the hype of being a Heisman contender.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, and the defense is good. It's better, especially for that conference. But like you said, with all the offense in the conference, like I said, you cannot afford, you know, those turnovers.
No, Brock's got to take care of the ball, and he's got to actually be the man. So, Rob, we're probably both going with the Oklahoma Sooners then as our pick. Rob, we do this every year. And here's the funny thing. We don't compare notes. We don't talk before we do the show. Nope. We just get on and say, here's what makes sense. And here's the other side of it. We're getting them right every year, Rob.
That's right. Yeah.
We're crushing it. Oklahoma's going to win the Big 12 again, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Like you said, as far as offenses go, that's still the best one. And their hang-up, as we know, defense is what, you know, has cost them past couple seasons. And from what I'm hearing, the defense is supposed to be better, the best that it's been since Riley's been there, which, again, isn't saying much. But if that defense is improved, like I said, I don't know how you stop them.
I don't either. You know, they go 9-2 last year. They smoked Florida in the Cotton Bowl. They returned 19 starters from that team, but they also picked up a few studs in the transfer portal. Now, there's a couple keys for OU this year. One, in their 2 losses last year, they allowed 38 points per game. Mm-hmm. That's insane. Even in a win against Texas, they allowed 45 points. But then down the stretch, that defense did get a little bit better. They hold Iowa State to 21. In the bowl game, they hold Florida to 20. But here's the second part of that. Spencer Rattler, quarterback, superstar, stud. I don't know exactly who he is. No question he has all the talent. We saw at times, though, late times in games, crunch time, there were times he didn't step up and make plays. He made kind of bonehead plays. He threw interceptions. No question Oklahoma's the real deal. Whether or not they can win the whole thing, I think, is going to come down to that defense. It's going to come down to Spencer Rattler. Is he really as good as advertised?
Yeah, I would agree. And like you said, he's got, you know, a year under his belt now, a little bit more comfortable with the system. So like I said, the tools are there. And like I said, if he can, you know, minimize some of those mistakes, stay focused for the entire game. Yeah, I think they have a real shot.
Rob, we move next to the Pac-12, who claims they're going to actually play games this year. They even claim they're going to allow some fans in the stands this season. We'll see if either of those things actually happen. Last year, the Pac-12 played like 4 to 6 games. They got shut out of the college football playoff yet again, and they probably, honestly, they probably set themselves back as a contender for like decades. Oregon beat USC in the championship, I think. I don't even really remember if they had a championship. I have no idea. But let's talk a little bit about some Pac-12 contenders. Rob, I only have 2 contenders. I could have thrown out a third, but I've got 2. What do you have over in the Pac-12?
Same here. I've got 2 contenders and then the champion.
All right, let's see if they're the same.
My first contender is actually USC.
Okay, I've got USC as well.
Okay, so Slovis is the QB.
Yep.
47 TDs in the past 2 seasons. So we like that. Offense is good.
For sure.
But kind of like we mentioned before with Oklahoma, the defense is a problem. I know they only played 6 game schedule,
yeah.
But in 3 of those games, they gave up over 30 points. And that's, you know, you can't
just
can't win with that. Yeah.
No.
So like I said, and again, this is another program. We also, again, mentioned the coach is on the hot seat.
Yep.
This is, you know, you've got plenty of talent there. I have trust in the offense. If that defense, if we can tighten it up a little bit, you know, they have a chance.
Well, they do. And you bring up some really good points. One other concern I have for them is that offensive line. They got Slovis killed last year. He can't get hit as much as he did last year. If they can shore that up, if the defense is better. And here's the other thing. USC is really going to benefit from playing a super soft schedule. They don't have to play Oregon. They don't have to play Washington. They have to go to Arizona State, but that's manageable. Arizona State might be sneaky, but they're not a world beater. And they have to go to Notre Dame. We'll maybe talk about Notre Dame a little bit later. But if they can make it through that, USC can be in contention for the Pac-12. If everything fell right, maybe they could be in contention for a playoff spot or something like that. I understand a lot of things would have to break exactly their way, but they have a really soft schedule that would allow for that.
Yeah, like you said, the offense is there. And with the coach being on the hot seat, you know, it's got to go, you know, either way. I mean, I don't think it'll be close. I think they're either going to be in it or completely out of it. And
you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a Clay Helton team just stop taking 2 stupid penalties. Mm-hmm. Just eliminate the dumb 15 yarders. If you just did that, they'd be in so much better shape. Doesn't seem like they've learned how to do that under Clay Helton. We'll see if he can figure that out this year. Rob, I've got another contender. I know you have one more as well. I don't know if it'll be the same one or not. I've got the Washington Huskies as a contender this year. The Huskies went, wait for it, 3-1 last year. And then after the year was over, they said they felt they were snubbed from something. I don't know who snubbed them. They played 4 games. But this year, the Huskies do return most of their offense. They should be able to score some points. Quarterback Dylan Morris, he's got his entire offensive line back. Morris is going to benefit from that protection. The Huskies will have to overcome some defensive losses. But if they do, and if they could maybe beat Oregon, which has been kind of their Achilles heel, the Huskies maybe could sneak through. One good thing for the Huskies, they get a game against Michigan in a non-conference matchup, could kind of put them on the national map. If they could get a win there, might bring some attention to Washington. Rob, do you have another contender out there in the Pac-12?
I do. Utah.
Got Utah. And you know what? I should add Utah because Utah just does it every year, don't they?
Yeah, every year. They've got 19 starters coming back. And I think in the Pac-12, probably the best lines, offensive line, defensive lines, you know, in the trenches. And so that's just, you know, just a solid program that I'll see you be in the mix. And I know we talk, you know, bad about the Pac-12, which is justified,
right.
But I do think they'll be better as a whole.
They have to be, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to actually play games this year, so they have to be.
Yeah.
But no, you bring up a really good point with Utah, because that's a team, Kyle Whittingham coaches up his fronts. And I know we talk about winning games in the trenches, and then we say, well, who's the quarterback? Who's the wide receivers? Win in the trenches, and that's what Utah does. They do it every single year, and they're really, really good at it. No, that's a really good pick. Utah is going to be really, really tough yet again. And they're tough every year. You just kind of sleep on them. You kind of forget that they're there, but they're really, really good. So then, Rob, are we going to go, what, 4-for-4 here and have another agreement on our pick for the Pac-12?
We might.
You going with the Oregon Ducks?
Oregon, yes.
Yeah, yeah. The Ducks had a weird season last year. I mean, like most everyone, they went 3-2, and they made it to the Pac-12 title game. They won 3 games. How do you win 3 games and go to the title game? This isn't the 20s when, like, oh, Princeton won a game. They get to go to the national championship, whatever. Then they got throttled by Iowa State in the Fiesta Bowl. Good season? I honestly, I don't even know if it was a good season or not. But the Ducks do have a ton of talent. And head coach Mario Cristobal, he is turning these Ducks into this physical, defensive, really, really well-recruited, really tough team. We're not used to that.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, they're returning 16 starters. And of everyone in the Pac-12, it's the ones I trust them the most.
Yes.
Out of everybody. I do have concerns about the schedule. They have UCLA, Utah, and Washington all on the road. So that's, you know, that could be trouble for them. Yeah, that could be trouble.
Well, and here's another one. Because on September 11th, Oregon goes to Ohio State. Hey. Yeah, that's going to be really, really tough. Now, if you can get that one, mm-hmm. No, you're in talks for a national championship. You're being talked about with the college football playoff. You've got to go get that one. Everyone's going to be watching that. The Pac-12 needs a bounce back year. They need a big year. Oregon is going to have a lot of weight on their shoulders to kind of carry that conference in a huge matchup. And I know you talked about their conference schedule is going to be tough enough. Ohio State to start off early on, that is going to be a big one. One guy to keep an eye on with Oregon, defensive end Kayvon Thibodeau, he is no joke. That kid rushes the passer. Oregon should be very fun to watch. And like I said, if they could beat Ohio State, we're going to be talking about them maybe in the college football playoff and somehow sneaking the Pac-12 into the college football playoff if they can pull off that really, really tough task. Okay, coming back, we still have to get to the big dog. Yes, we will be previewing the mighty SEC when we get back. Plus, we still have to make our picks for the Heisman Trophy and for the college football playoff. Will Rob and I continue to agree on everything today? That can't happen again this year, can it? So let's finish off our conversation with Big Rob today, and let's jump back into our preview of the Southeastern Conference. Rob, we're going to finish up the conferences with the big dog of college football. Yes, of course, it is the Southeastern Conference. Who is going to be picking up Oklahoma and Texas, but not until 2025. So that's a ways out. But keep in mind, the SEC has won 12 of the last 16 national championships without Texas and Oklahoma. So they're going to be in the hunt again to do it this year because they're in the hunt every year. Let's take a look at the contenders here. I've got 4 contenders, but I could be talked out of one of them real easy. How's the SEC looking for you, Rob?
Yeah, again, probably the best conference, you know, top to bottom. I'm looking at 3 contenders myself.
Okay, I'm going to throw out my first one. I don't know that you'll have it on there. I guess I have to put the Florida Gators in here as a contender if things fall right for them. The Gators lost quarterback Kyle Trask. They lost playmaker Kadarius Toney. They lost tight end Kyle Pitts, who were absolutely dominant. But the Gators do have a lot of talent coming back. Head coach Dan Mullen, he's done a pretty good job of recruiting. But make no mistake, the Gators are going to have to change from the team that they were last year. They will not be an offensive juggernaut like they were last year. They're going to have to play good defense, and their defense was terrible last year. Quarterback Emory Jones will have to lead an offense that's more ball control, more grinded out, more try to eke out wins as opposed to blowing you out with big points. I don't think the Gators can do that much, but they're no question they're going to be really, really talented.
Yeah, I agree. That was one of mine as well. Like I said, I think the injuries, like you said, is really what derailed their season.
Yeah.
That offense, though, I do still kind of trust the offense. And like I said, in the SEC, where offense is, you know, opening up a little bit more, yeah. I think that's what gives them a chance.
Yeah, they're going to be interesting to watch it. And Dan Mullen, I mean, if you can win at Mississippi State, I'm going to go ahead and assume you can probably put together some teams anywhere you go, because that's a tough place to win. And he was able to do it there. So I'll give him that. I have a contender in the LSU Tigers, and I'm not sure about them. They went 5-5 last year, but they kind of started to figure things out down the stretch. They should be better significantly defensively this year because they couldn't be any worse. Last year, LSU, the defending champs, allowed 35 points a game. They returned their entire offensive line. They returned most of their defense, including All-American Derek Stingley Jr. Now, LSU claims they're going to have 100% capacity down in Death Valley. If they do, it is going to be wild because we have not seen that now for a while. LSU has a manageable schedule aside from a visit to Tuscaloosa in November. Other than that, they have most of their tough games at home. And so I'll throw LSU out there. Maybe they could be a team that would trip some people up. Who else do you have as a contender in the SEC, Rob?
My next one is going to be Mississippi State.
Okay. I like that one a lot.
Mike Leach.
Yes. Crazy Mike Leach.
Yes. Yes. Just because of Mike Leach, that offense, kind of like we spoke about before, another year under his system, maybe surprise someone. Again, I don't think they can take it all, but I think this is a team that could, you know, get one or two upsets, big upsets this season.
I hope so, because I want Mike Leach to be coaching down there a while. And I love when he's on TV. I love when they're interviewing him and he's talking about UFOs, and he's a crazy person. And I absolutely love it when he's on because he's just hilarious to me. And it's going to make the Egg Bowl that much more exciting. Mississippi State, Mississippi, let those two nuts just go at it with each other. I absolutely will be cheering for both of those two crazy coaches. My other contender, I've got one. Well, no, I've got two more. I'll throw out Texas A&M. I know they lost quarterback Kellen Mond, but it sounds like Haynes King will be taking over for Mond. And we know head coach Jimbo Fisher, he does seem to produce some pretty good quarterbacks. The Aggies are going to return pretty much their entire defense. Running back Isaiah Spiller, he's a workhorse kind of back. He'll be running behind tackles. Now, they lost a good portion of their offensive line, and that concerns me. But they do have All-American offensive tackle Kenyon Green, and that will be a nice piece for Spiller to run behind. Expectations in College Station always seem to be high. That doesn't usually end well for Texas A&M. We'll see if Jimbo Fisher can change that up a little bit this year, though. Who else do you have as a contender in the SEC, Rob?
Last contender, probably the same as you, is Georgia.
Yep, they're going to be really good.
Yeah, they've got the most returning out of everyone in the conference. The talent is there. It comes back to the offense for me. Yep. I don't know if that offense can keep up. Again, with Georgia, just seems like, you know, they're always, you know, right when you think they have it, you know, it falls apart for them. Yeah. But I mean, talent wise, you know, I think probably talent wise, they're right there with Alabama this year.
Yeah, they are. And they're stacked everywhere. Kirby Smart is a heck of a recruiter. We're going to see if he really can coach, but there's no question. He's bringing in boatloads of talent every single year. And it seemed like maybe quarterback JT Daniels started to figure some things out. My concern, like yours, is that it seems like Georgia always loses one, maybe two games that they shouldn't lose. And you're like, what happened there? Why'd you trip up there? But there's no question. They are really, really talented. And that defensive front is outstanding for Georgia. Defensively, they are going to put some serious pressure on your quarterback. They're going to shut down your run. They're going to be really, really good. Here's what's going to be interesting. September 4th, Georgia is going to be playing the Clemson Tigers. We're going to find out right away how good are both of these teams, and I'm sure we'll all overreact to whoever wins that game and claim that they're automatically going to be the national champ. But that's going to be a really, really fun game that we get early on. So, Rob, we are going to go 5 for 5 again. We're going to both have the Alabama Crimson Tide winning the SEC, aren't we?
Yes, Alabama once again.
Man, they're just loaded. And I know players come and go, but Nick Saban just restocks and retools and reloads, and they're just good every year, no matter how many people they lose.
Yeah, and this was actually close for me. Them in Georgia, it was. I almost flipped them because Alabama, like you said, they lost a lot, 7 starters, and I mean, it's big starters. I mean, those are big names to fill. And granted, you know, you're bringing in talent, top talent, that's just as good. But I mean, that is a lot to lose and to replace. And their schedule is a little concerning too. I mean, they have to go to A&M, to Florida, to Auburn. They have to play Ole Miss with, you know, that crazy offense gave them trouble last year. Miami, LSU that you mentioned. So if there is a year, especially early on, like I said, if I won't say lose a game, but like I said, I don't think they'll be dominating, blowing people out early on. They might have it figured out by the end of the season, but just with so much turnover and a tough schedule, you know, we'll see. We'll see early on.
Well, and we talked about this a little bit earlier. We talked about the name and likeness stuff. We know Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. He's coming in. He's the new quarterback. He's going to take over for Mac Jones. He's getting all these all this money. He's making, they're saying he's made around $1 million on his name and likeness. He hasn't played.
Nope.
What if he comes out and doesn't put up anything? What if he's not as good as advertised? Mm-hmm. We're going to get into some weird, really, really weird stuff if he does, because everyone's going to be like, wait, we paid him all this money for what now? And we know it's just been plug and play. You go to Alabama, you win a title, you go on. We're going to see if Alabama can keep that up. Like you said, if there is a year, we could see them slip a little. It should be this year, shouldn't it? I just don't know if it will.
Yeah, like you said, I couldn't pull the trigger because I don't want to say it. But like I said, I definitely wouldn't be surprised because that is a lot of turnover and a tough schedule. And so we'll see.
If it was anybody but Nick Saban, we'd be like, no, they're going to fall this year. But with Nick, you're just like, I don't know. He keeps doing it.
Probably, yeah.
they still have wide receiver John Michi. And we know Alabama is now wide receiver U. You know he's got a bunch of studs coming in there. They just plug in a new guy. And all of a sudden, we know his name, too. And he's getting drafted in the top five. Yep. Unbelievable. Rob, I don't know that we'll have any. I've got three that I'll throw out there. But do you have anybody from a smaller conference that you could see, I don't know, maybe being somewhat of a contender or maybe kind of sneaking their way in or making some noise nationally? Do you have anybody outside of a Big Five team?
Yeah, I've got three, actually.
Okay, I wonder if they're the same ones.
As well. First one is Cincinnati.
Yep, I've got Cincinnati in there. Hey, they're no joke, are they?
No, like I said, in both sides of the ball, I think they're a complete team outside of the big boys, you know, complete team, both sides of the ball. Like I said, do they have enough to compete with the Alabamas and the Georgias? I'm not sure. I mean, but that is a solid team on both sides of the ball.
For sure. You know, they went 9-0 last year. They go to the Peach Bowl. They lose by a field goal to Georgia. I actually believe based on their schedule, based on their season, I think Cincy deserved to be in the college football playoff last year. They didn't get that chance because they're not a household name. And no one cares about the American Athletic Conference. But Cincinnati, like you said, they return a significant number of contributors on both sides of the ball. They're going to be tough on both sides of the ball. They do play at Indiana, and they play at Notre Dame this year. That's going to be really, really interesting because if they come out in those games and Cincinnati wins, Cincinnati shines and looks good, you're going to have to talk about Cincinnati maybe as a sneaky college football playoff contender. That is a team that I have got two more contenders here, and I'm going to put out a contender that I probably shouldn't put out there, Rob. I'm going to throw out Coastal Carolina. They made some noise last year out of the Sun Belt, but here's the thing. The Chanticleers return like everybody. The problem for them is they're not going to play anybody. Last year, they got the benefit of getting to play BYU in that wacky last-second throw-a-game-together schedule. They're not going to get to do that, but Grayson McCall, the quarterback, he leads an offense that scored 38 points per game last year. Hey, Coastal isn't going away. They're going to score a ton of points. They're probably going to go undefeated, and we're going to be talking at the end of the year, well, the strength of schedule just isn't good enough. Otherwise, we'd put them in there. Coastal is no joke, though. They will be a pain. I just don't think they have the schedule to get them into a playoff.
Yeah, actually, I had them on my list as well.
Oh, you did?
I did. Yeah, like you said, they've got 19 starters coming back. And then Jamie Chadwell is the coach.
Yes.
Yes. And I was going to say, all those coaches we mentioned earlier on the hot seat, I think this is the number one guy. If you're those schools, the USC's of the world.
Yes.
If it doesn't work out this season, I think that's who you want to go after.
If you can do it at Coastal Carolina, mm-hmm. you're probably going to be pretty good anywhere, aren't you?
Yep, I would think so.
He's built that program. Coastal, I mean, they've been in the Sun Belt for years. They've been garbage for years. That's a good team, and they're pretty good on both sides of the ball. They're going to be really, really tough. I'm going to throw one more team out there. And, Rob, I'll just preface it by saying I'm only going to throw them out there because if they're in the top 15, they're getting put into the college football playoff because you already know where I'm going. I'm putting Notre Dame in there because I have to. They don't deserve it, but they're going to get put in there. Last year, Notre Dame goes 10-2. And because they had beaten Clemson without Trevor Lawrence in South Bend, no less, they stuffed him into the college football playoff, despite the fact that Clemson got revenge on him and blew him out in the ACC championship. But it didn't matter. They were putting Notre Dame in there because they know they bring TV ratings. And then we know what happened. They went to the football playoff. They get obliterated by Alabama in the Rose Bowl. They lost some significant talent, but I mean, Notre Dame will have enough to still be in the hunt. The difference this year might be the schedule, though.
I agree. That was the third team I had.
We went 3-for-3 again.
We did. Like you said, Notre Dame, they start overrated. But like I said, the schedule is their key because they've got Cincy, USC, and UNC all at home. So, again, with the overhype, you've got your toughest games at home. I feel like we are obligated to mention them, but I don't believe it.
We kind of have to because they're going to get thrown in there. If they win those games, they're getting thrown in there, mm-hmm. like it or not. They do also get Wisconsin, and they open at Florida State. I don't think they can lose to Florida State. I don't think Florida State has the horses because that offensive line is really, really bad. But Florida State might not realize they're bad yet when they first see Notre Dame. And so maybe they kind of give them a game for a little while, see if they can keep it close. Notre Dame will probably be overhyped this year as they usually are. Okay, Rob, I got to ask you this. Heisman, we've got a number of contenders. We've talked about a number of guys on the list today. Do you have any runners up you want to mention? Do you have a winner you want to mention? How are you looking for the Heisman this year?
I've got three runners up. Okay. And then my pick. And my first one is going to be, I think we mentioned already, Sam Howell, UNC.
Yep.
Just like I said, from a number standpoint, I think he's going to have good numbers, good yards, good touchdowns. If that defense hasn't improved, like we said, that's going to be even better. More shootouts. Like I said, the schedule could come back to haunt him, though. You know, if they, you know, just a mediocre team, you know, that'll drop him out the ratings. But I think starting the season, you know, he's got an outside chance.
Yeah, I like Sam Howell. I'm really hoping he has a big year. If he does, UNC, with what Mac Brown is doing recruiting-wise, UNC might be on an ascension that we're just going to see them getting better every single year. North Carolina is in a really interesting spot right now. I've got USC quarterback Keaton Slovis as a guy who's a runner-up. He's not going to win it. But because of what they do at USC, I think he could be a contender because he should put up big numbers in a conference that should allow him to put up big numbers with a schedule that should allow him to put up big numbers. So I'm going to put him in the conversation. Who else do you have as a runner-up, Rob?
Next, I've got CJ Stroud, Ohio State.
QB.
I know we talked about it earlier. I'm not convinced on him as a QB, but that talent around him, those receivers that he's throwing to, you know, can make him look good. And again, if this is a team that's, you know, undefeated, one loss at the end of the season as the quarterback of that team, I think that puts him up there in the running.
Well, and you're talking about a head coach in Ryan Day that has coached up some really good quarterbacks and really knows how to get these guys to put up huge, huge numbers. And if he does it again, yeah, CJ Stroud is going to be right there. If we're talking about teams that are going to be in the hunt at the finish, we've got to talk about Ohio State. We know Heisman voters are typically lazy. They just take the best quarterback on the best team, and right? That's who they're going to throw in there. So, yeah, that's a really, really good pick. For that exact same reason, I'm going to go with Alabama quarterback Bryce Young, who is a guy that's probably going to be the quarterback on one of the best teams in the country. And so Heisman voters will just go, I guess we'll just give it to him. And as a result, I'll at least throw him out there. I've got one other runner up and then I've got a winner. What do you have, Rob?
I just got my winner left. I had Bryce Young was my last contender.
Oh, you had Bryce Young. Okay. I've got DJ Uiagalelei, Clemson quarterback. I'm butchering that name. I've got him as my last runner up. Because I think he is going to be a stud. I think Clemson is going to be right there. And I think he will be close. I just don't think he's going to be the winner. Do we have the same winner?
We might. Spencer Rattler?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rob, we do this every year. We've got Spencer Rattler. But Spencer Rattler is going to put up insane numbers on a really, really good team in a conference that he might throw 8 touchdowns a game. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. And then you just look at that QB pedigree from Oklahoma the past couple of years.
Yep.
You know, Mayfield, Hurts, you know, it's right there. So it's just, you know, he's the guy in that system that's turned out, you know, Heisman's past couple, you know, 4 or 5 years all in the running.
Right. And for that reason, I mean, how can he not be the favorite to win the whole thing? So we've both got him winning our Heisman. Rob, this makes me concerned that we might have the exact same playoff. We've done this before. We have done this before. All right, Rob, we'll go back and forth. Who is your number 4 team in your college football playoff this year?
Okay, I've got two here.
Okay.
And I'll explain. My number 4 is either Georgia or Clemson. And whoever wins that first game,
gets that spot.
Okay. Okay. So I've got not my number four is Clemson.
Okay.
So we're right in the exact same spot. Mm-hmm. All right. Who do you have as your number three?
Number three is Ohio State.
Okay. We'll differ a little bit. I've got Oklahoma as my number three.
Okay.
Who do you have at number two?
Oklahoma is my number two.
So we just swapped those. I've got Ohio State at number two, meaning we probably both have Alabama at number one.
Yes, Alabama number one.
Okay. So we have our final four, which is almost identical as usual. But after the first two games take place, who are your winners of those first two games?
So in mine, well, whoever it is, the four, Georgia, Clemson, I've got Alabama beating them.
Okay.
They've got it figured out by that time.
Right.
So Alabama advances.
Okay.
And then my other semifinal, Oklahoma versus Ohio State. And I'm actually going to go Oklahoma.
Rob, I've got Oklahoma beating Ohio State. I've got Alabama beating Clemson. Again, we don't talk about, maybe we should start talking about this before, Rob. We might have to start doing pre-show notes or something, because we have the exact same championship. I think we've done this the last 3 years. Here's the question. Who do you have winning it all?
I'm going Alabama again.
You're going to go Alabama. I win Oklahoma.
Oh, well, there we go.
There's our big difference. We went through the entire thing. We had one difference at the very end. Well, that kind of seems to be how our college football preview goes. But like I said, if we were getting these wrong every year, I'd feel bad. Right. We're crushing it. Every year we're getting it right. Is this a good thing for college football, by the way? Because every year, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, maybe you could throw in a Georgia or a – I'm struggling for anybody else. Somebody else. I'm sure there's somebody else that I'm forgetting. But there's not much. Is this good for college football?
I'm going to say no, but then again, well, we have the playoff coming. So I think that's going to help when there's more teams in there, even though if it still ends up settling, like it does now, still top heavy, at least you've got some more teams in there. You've got some chances for some upsets. So I think the playoff itself is what's going to help, college football.
Rob, I'm going to make you the chairman of the NCAA, and we know you're going to be out of a job here probably pretty soon, but let's just say you're in charge. How big do you expand the playoff?
I know it's between 8 and 12. Definitely not more than 12.
I agree.
I would go to 8 next. I don't think we need to jump all the way to 12. I think that's the max out spot. But I would like to see from 4 to 8.
I would too. See, I'm right there exactly in the same place, because I think if you go to 12, you're talking about two lost teams. You're talking about maybe a three lost team. I don't know that I want to go that far down into the barrel. Because if somehow you did have that team sneak through and win, you'd be like, really? Mm-hmm. I don't want to get down that far. I think 8 would be perfect. I don't want buys. I don't want all, you know, I don't want to go 10 and have buys. I don't want to do any of that. I understand it. But I think if you just went 8, the regular season is still monumental. And yet you would have more depth other than just these four teams. Maybe you'd see a Coastal Carolina. Maybe you'd see a Cincinnati get through. That's what I want to see. I want to see Central Florida get on the field and prove it, because they didn't get a chance to prove it. I didn't think they deserved that year. I didn't think they deserved a chance to prove it, but I'd like to see them prove it. So I'm right there with you. I think 8 is absolutely the best number. And I think it's going to go probably a little bit bigger than that, but I guess we'll have to live with that. Rob, I want to say thank you so much for stopping by the Daily Dose. Thank you for your contributions that you make on the regular to the Daily Dose, because a lot of you might not realize I get so many stories that Rob just sends me. Hey, have you seen this crazy story? And I don't know where you come up with them, but you come up with a lot of great stories that I'm like, I didn't see that. No one's talking about that. No one's heard about that. Rob does a great job of contributing to the Dose. But here is something else. Rob, next week, we're going to do this all over again. We're going to do the NFL preview. We're going to have a couple other contributors to the Daily Dose join us, and we're going to do a four-panel Zoom call here and get all our NFL picks in. So you're on the hook for another week. Are you sure you're up for this?
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to it. And no pre-show meetings or anything. We'll just,
nope,
just go.
Jumping in. We don't do any of that, Rob. We don't prep. The only way we prep might be right here.
All right.
We might prep with a drink or two, and that's about it. But, you know, we hadn't done the Zoom call. We've done a couple Zoom calls with a few interviews we've done. And I think it's kind of a fun thing to jump on the Zoom call, and we actually get to see each other. I haven't seen Rob here in a little while. We've been in COVID mode. Rob's got the full beard growing out here. He's going mountain man on us. And, yeah, it was good to get on, to get to see you again. I appreciate so much all that you do bring to the dose. And I'm looking forward to doing next week. I think next week's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Hey, next week on the dose, we are going to be trying something completely different as we begin to preview the NFL season that is already nearly here. We're going to do it in a completely different way than we have ever done before. So be sure that you tune in next week and be sure to tell a friend to do the same, because I think you're going to enjoy it a lot. Hey, I want to say thank you to Big Rob for all that you contribute to the Daily Dose. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel, for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out all the new things going on over there. But more than anything else, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
I'm a man. I'm 40.